Man can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger since time immemorial, and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul, under illusion, wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives them a chance at so-called happiness. But the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandya Jane Raja Jaina Nadite Kubai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 20:1-18. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he is taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the Shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly persons. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Loba Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:54. Even by a little association with the devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this material existence. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. So the point is being made that the material existence will go on. It's not going to not go on. And the only way to get out of it is through Krishna consciousness. There's not another process. Jnanis have processes, others have processes, that they think this will liberate me from the material entanglement, the material situation, but being within the material creation, even the leaving of it not in Krishna consciousness is also, like the material energy, temporary, because one is connected. The connection with the material energy is not that one happens to be physically here. That's not how it starts. That's the confusion. It starts because we see that the energy of the Lord is something I can enjoy. As soon as we think that, we're actually in material consciousness, we're in the material world, wherever we're situated. That doesn't matter, right? It's just like you can go up in an airplane. You're still within the Earth's control, right? You don't get out of it. It's that this idea is, no, I'll get out of the material world. And we think of that by a location. I'll go to the Brahma Jyoti. But the material energy grows from the Brahman. It's the qualities of the Brahman that are the qualities that we find here. Just the material energy transforms to create the forms and everything that we can relate to. But the potency for that is coming out of Brahman. So how will, by going to where it's just Brahma Jyoti, solve the material problem? Because this is that's what the material energy is created from. So it doesn't solve anyone's problem. The only solution is to be Krishna conscious, because then you change the consciousness from I'm the controller and enjoyer to I am servant of Krishna, and my endeavors, the results of my endeavors, are for His pleasure. That's spiritual. Anything else is not spiritual. It just isn't. So nothing but Krishna consciousness will get one out of the material world. It's that simple. So now, how does this happen? How do we take this up? The Prabhupada points out that that's by association of devotees. So that's the key point. We may make it so many other things. Being a vegetarian is the key point. good management structure is the key point. Transparency is the key point. But actually, it's association of devotees. There is nothing else. If there isn't association of devotees, the other processes don't happen. So it's the key. The reason we come in contact is because we came in contact with devotees. From that contact and engaging in service by their direction, not by our direction. It's not like I've never seen the devotees, then I bump into them, they say, hey, you do like this, so you need service. Oh, yeah, I know all that stuff. No, we don't know. They engage us. They give association. They engage us. Then, by that, we gain the sukrita that we gain, faith. Then that faith, then we take up seriously now the association of devotees. So based on that association, we get faith. Based on that faith, we take seriously the association. And based on that, then we engage ourselves in the process of devotional service. So Bhajana Kriya is based on Sadhu Sangha. No Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya doesn't really happen. We can say all we want, but it doesn't. So all the processes in the devotional, so Rupa Goswami gives 64. Of this, he says that there are five that are prominent, that are main. These are direct. These five are direct activities. So that's the first is association of devotees. Then in that association, we will hear Srimad Bhagavatam and we will chant Hare Krishna. Right? We will do that in the environment of worship of the deity. And we'll do that in the place of the spiritual realm. So in this way, all the five are connected because we're connected with devotees. It's the prominent. Others are not the prominent. People will try to make it that. It's all just about chanting. But the point is the what's the point of the chanting if it's not complete? Samkirtana means complete kirtan. So complete means association. Otherwise, there's no completeness without association. Is Paramatma complete? On one level, yes, he's the personality of Godhead, but as Paramatma, how we're relating to him is not as the personality of Godhead. We're relating to him as the creator, maintainer, destroyer, the judge, the one who manages this place. So basically, we're accepting him as the supreme manager. So it's not about him as a person. So it's not about associating with. The yogis meditate on, is that association? Right? The guy at his house, he has huge blown up pictures of some personality all over his walls. He meditates upon them all the time. Is that association? Right? Because you set up camp on their front lawn, you know, because you're hoping maybe you'll get a glimpse. Is that association? No, so meditation's not association. It's good, it's purifying. It's not a bad thing. But the personality of Godhead means association. So that's what's unique about Krishna, is that he's always surrounded by loving devotees. Right? Nrisimhadeva is sitting there. How many loving devotees is he surrounded by? One. Because all the other loving devotees aren't about to get too close. You understand? Krishna is always surrounded by devotees. Therefore, if you can't associate with devotees, how are you going to associate with Krishna? It's not that you can get him on his own and it's just me and Krishna. It's not going to happen. It's going to be Krishna, his devotees, and then we get to be part of that. So this association of devotees is actually the primary element. We don't associate nicely. We don't take advantage of it. We don't take it seriously. We don't respect devotees. We're always critical of devotees, then we will not get what is being discussed here. We will not get out of the material existence. Right? Criticism of devotees is for here, not there. Right? So it doesn't work like that. So we have to understand that how this balances. So it's that in the association of devotees, you do something. Therefore, one preaches, one is involved in sadhana, one is cultivating people in Krishna consciousness, one's doing service to the Dham. That's all in the, but there's a balance. So it's not that it's only about the sadhus and nothing else, but it's not that it's about everything else and not about the sadhus. That's why it says, Kapila Muni says, if one's doing deity worship, and one's very committed to the deity, doing everything very nicely, following the rules, but you can't associate with devotees, you don't appreciate devotees, then that worship is not complete. He doesn't accept it as very advanced. It's still considered very neophyte. So in the same way, the Dham is special. But if you can't appreciate the devotees in the Dham, the Dham's not going to be happy. Same with book distribution. If you can distribute books, but all you can do is criticize devotees, your book distribution is not as important as it could be. It's always good. Devotional service is always good. But it will never be as good as it could be. Hearing Bhagavatam, studying, you know. Then if one thinks one's superior because he has so much knowledge, then it's not going to work. So that's the whole point, is that it's all about associating with devotees. And these are just different aspects so that we can properly take part. So this is here, even a little association, then we get so much benefit. You know, that means, if you think about it, for us to take up this movement as a commitment, how much time we spent with the devotees. You know, it wasn't 24/7 for years. We bump into them here and there, and just that power of that was so much that we developed faith, and then we took up the process. So that same potency is still there. Right? Familiarity, it gets in the way, but it's not that it changes the reality. Right? If I'm familiar with gold, doesn't mean it's any less valuable. I may not value it so much, but it still has the same value. So that's the association of devotees still remains. That's why it's all about how to associate, how to improve the association, how to improve the service. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes. Is association of devotees more important than regulative principles? So how do you mean more important than regulative principles? What's the context? You know what I'm saying? So is this, you have an actual situation you're thinking of and you want to know, or is this just that you think you found a loophole in the argument and you just want to have some fun here? You know what I'm saying? Is this a real question, or is this just, okay, I found a thing. So is it more important we don't have to follow the regulative principles? So, which is more important, breathing or eating? So, you choose one or the other. You can't choose both, right? What about going to the toilet? You don't go to the toilet, watch out what happens. Nothing works. Your brain won't work. You can't function like that. So, some could say that going to the toilet is the most important thing of human existence. You know what I'm saying? But you have to know when the acharyas give this, what's primary and what's secondary. It's just like this. We're having an activity here, right? We're hearing Bhagavatam. So that's an important activity recommended by the acharyas. But we're doing that by sitting on this floor. If this floor wasn't here, you would not be able to, in this particular level of space, be able to hear the class. So we could propound that the floor is the most important element, because without the floor, there's no class. Right? Does that make sense? We'd end up, you know, somewhere over in like Tallahassee or something if there was no floor. Does that make sense? So, therefore, why one and not the other? Why always this extreme? Balance is maturity. Extreme, that's lack of maturity. You know, if something's wrong, go blow it up, right? So how does that make things work? How does that make it good? Does that make sense? So in other words, everything else comes because there is association of devotees. The point is in the association of devotees, then there's all this unlimited variety of service that happens to the Supreme Lord. Why does it happen? Because of association. Now, if you want to get, okay, does that make sense? Now to get down to your point, that's why I'm saying context. For a person who's first coming in contact with devotees, yes, it's association devotees is way more important than the regulative principles. Because they'll become a devotee by association, not because they're following the four regulative principles. Right? They'll follow the four regulative principles based on association of devotees. Therefore, bhajana kriya is based on sadhu sangha. But if they don't follow nicely, that's called anishta, unfixed devotional service. But with time, it'll become fixed. But along with that, their association with devotees becomes also fixed and mature. So if your association with devotees is not mature, your devotional service won't be either. But everything comes together. It's a package. Does that make sense? That work? Okay. Yes, right here.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay.
Discussing association of devotees, two thoughts came to mind, and if you don't mind, maybe sharing some of your thoughts. Associating with like-minded devotees and associating with more advanced devotees.
Yes. So the idea is that one is, because, I mean, here just to start, like-minded and advanced, then there needs to be one, there's some common principles that are necessary. One is that one can observe and appreciate something outside of oneself. Because you can't tell who's like-minded or who's more advanced if it's all about yourself, right? And two is then intelligence that you can discriminate so you can understand what is like-minded and what's different. And you also have to know who you are so you know what's like-minded. So in other words, the process of self-realization, if you know who you are, then you can know who to associate with. It means we're always associating with devotees. Like here, we're in this class, we're all here together, we go to the programs together, we do festivals together. We're talking about, you know, when we're more kind of close association. You know, it's talking about dadati pratigrinati guhyamakiti prichati bhunkte bojayate. These things, then that's who you focus that. You try to do that in association with those who are more advanced and like-minded. Why like-minded? What it means advanced, naturally, we'll start with that. Because if they're doing something better than you, then there's an inspiration for you to improve the quality of what you're doing. So you always want to be an environment of inspiration. But inspiration comes because you can understand what is the field. Because inspiration is prajumna. Prajumna expands from sankarshan. Sankarshan means the field. If you can't appreciate that someone has better qualities, you understand? So therefore, that's why kutinati is considered the worst of all offenses, right? More than offenses, more than asatrishna, which means material attachment to sense gratification, right? It's worse. Why? Because you can't find anyone more advanced. You can't find anyone like-minded. So how you'll associate? That's why it's the worst. Other things are bad, but that's because we've been here for a long time. You know, it's just like this. Let's say the ring has dirt on it. I can wash it. But if I can't find water good enough to wash it in, will it ever become clean? No. So the real thing is the ability to see who is more advanced because I can appreciate. So you have to be able to see what's good. Then, being inspired by that, you want to attain like that. And so therefore you choose association in areas that are valuable to you, that devotees that have those kind of qualities. In an area that's not important to you, then you may not choose that as close association. But not that it's not important, it's just for you. Let's say someone is a manager, and so they may choose to associate closely with other managers who they feel are more advanced and are able to connect all their management to Krishna. But someone else who's not a manager may not choose that as their association because they don't have, it's not an area that they are looking for inspiration. Does that make sense? You know, so in the same way, is that Therefore, the people will associate, that's nice, but it doesn't become a clique, right? It's just that, because then it's an identity. No, it's a matter of these are qualities that they are expressing that I and my conditioning have that I can appreciate. At the same time, you have the direct activities, of course, nice chanting, hearing, associating with devotees, these aspects. So one looks at those and one looks at the conditioned, both. But it's not a club, it's just closeness, it's affection, right? So then that's advanced. So then the like-minded means that you will, yeah, so we've discussed that, is that you can appreciate a quality that you have that you notice, because one only notices qualities one has. Now you might notice them in the positive or the negative. So you associate with those you see in the positive, but you have to be careful that the negative that you're seeing is actually negative. And it's not just that one has a negative view of the world. Because we have to remember, if we look at it from the modern context, the person who's considered socially better situated, you know, in the modern context, is one who can find fault in everybody else. And they are able to, and they find association in others who can find fault in the same way they do. If you find fault differently, then it's not, then you're still bogus. You understand? So it's a very rarefied atmosphere, because the amount of people that really can relate just the way you do is going to be one or two. Once, you know, how you say, beyond that, you know, how you say, two's company, three's a crowd, right? You know, so it just doesn't happen. So we have to remember that the middle class, slightly educated, slightly, critical, you know, view of the world is actually probably the worst position to take in Krishna consciousness. It's not a value. But, you know, popular is popular. Why is it popular? Because mass likes it, not because it's a value. So you have to be very, very careful. Is that, so the ability, so in other words, it's not about, there is standards of Krishna consciousness, so you have to be able to see those standards. And you have to see where the weakness is. But it's not about the individual, because the soul is pure. The soul is actually liberated, but the soul thinks he's involved with the material energy. Right? So that's why they perceive in the way they do. So therefore, ultimately, it's not the fault of the living entity. And the conditioning, these are just various combinations of Krishna's energy. It means he's the universal form, so all the varieties of heads and faces and hands are all his. And then by his potency, they're able to be pulled together, right? But there's something we were reading the other day, very interesting, is when Mahavishnu first glances at the material, at Pradhan, then everything separates, because it won't separate unless there's the power to separate. But now, having separated into the 24 elements, nothing happens, because the 24 elements have to have the potency to come together and combine. The material energy doesn't have that power. So it's the Lord's power that creates the attractiveness of the different, you know, how you say, atoms of the material energy to come together, that you get the forms that you see. So it's still Krishna's attractive. That's why we think form's attractive. Because Krishna, it's his potency that pulls it together. So we think the material energy is just automatic. Yeah, no, but it's Krishna's potency that holds it together. So that's the whole thing. Even criticizing that technically is, you have to be careful, because ultimately even that's Krishna. So the point is that it's the misuse of it that's the problem. It's not the living entity, it's not the conditioning. It's the misuse of them. Misuse of the position of the living entity as being God instead of being servant. And misuse of the material energy in that being God, I'm controlling and enjoying it rather than engaging in Krishna's service. That's the weakness. So the discussion is actually about that. What is useful for upliftment and devotional service? Right? Does that make sense? So then one has to be careful. So one has to have the intelligence to discriminate, but at the same time, that discrimination is based on pure devotional service as opposed to a false identity. You know what I'm saying? We should be careful not to pit one false identity against another. A pious false identity against an impious. Like that. Because it's actually devotional that's the real. Is that word? So yeah. So in that association, that's then where we, you know, see to their, you know, things go nicely for them, exchange of food, exchange of gifts, talking confidentially, these kind of things. That's the point. You understand? When people have confidential discussions, they actually have it in their life, then they don't worry about truth. You go back in history, there's nothing that's going on today wasn't going on for the past thousands of years, but people didn't worry about it because they had relationships. Now if you don't have a relationship, you have to know truth because you have to know, because if you don't know, then you're in the darkness, and darkness means fear. And so I feel insecure. So it's not about relationships, it's about my security. You understand? It's a covering. The point of if things aren't going nicely is because it will disturb the devotional development. That's the real problem. It's not that truth stands on its own as reality. It's not a mundane potency. Truth comes from Krishna. It's based on Krishna. So truth means Krishna. Does that make sense? So all the isms, all these idyllic qualities that we put forward from the mode of passion and ignorance, you know, which is known as pranamoy, you know, extended sense gratification, social betterment, all of these then don't stand on their own. Because all they really mean is that in that environment, I'll feel safe to enjoy myself. If everybody's equal, then I'll feel okay, because I'm not so good. So if everyone's equal, then I have a shot. Therefore, I'll feel secure. While if it's everyone's, you know, it's up to everyone's actual qualification, I don't stand a chance. Because the people who are successful don't say that. You understand? So we don't want to put too much emphasis on this because we don't want to break down the engagement of the conditioning. But the point is, if the conditioning is not connected to the Lord, it doesn't have any value. So in other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that every position that one may take has a value, right? Otherwise, why would one take it? Why would one commit one life to it? But in doing so, if it's not connected to the Lord, that is favorable for pure devotional service, then it actually isn't real. You understand? In other words, its social standing's not enough. Because it's popular in the modern world doesn't mean it will actually work in pure devotional service. Because what's popular in the world keeps changing. Give it a few years and it completely changes again. So Prabhupada's talking about a movement for 10,000. So we have to be careful that what we're establishing actually has a universal principle. Right? Because Krishna is able to reconcile all these contradictions. Like he's equal with everyone. Everyone gets what, how you act, you get your results, you get your position. Everyone has an equal chance to function in the material world and become Krishna conscious. At the same time, those who reciprocate with him in devotion, he gives attention according to that. So it appears that there's a difference. But the others are only dealing with him as Brahman and Paramatma, so he only reciprocates that way. So when we deal in devotion, he reciprocates on that plane. So that's loving. The other one is just formal. So they seem to be contradictory, but the two work together very nicely. Does that make sense? So like that, we have to be careful in that when we're dealing, that everything has a value, but we have to know where it's the proportion of value. Like Prabhu's first question, you know, the regulative principles or associate, which is more important. They're both important. But you have to know which is primary, which is secondary. Therefore, all these qualities, they're all Krishna's qualities. Therefore, they're of value. So the social qualities are only of value because they're based on Krishna's qualities. But you have to know the proportion and their position, that they're only useful in serving pure devotion. But if they take on their own life, that's material existence. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say we want to take care of the cows. Good thing. But it's because, you know, the cows are there. They're, you know, they're nice animals. I like cows. We should deal nicely with cows. You know, people aren't taking care of the cows. This is nonsense. How can you be a devotee? You're not taking care of cows. Nobody thinks about the cows. Who visits the goshala? Who goes over and pets a cow? I could take that as a platform, just like I was saying before. I could take the whole platform as the floor is the real thing. It's not about the class. But why am I taking that? Is it about because Krishna has appreciation of cows? Is it that cows give milk, which is then used in sacrifice, it's used for the deities, it's used in yajnas, it develops the finer brain tissues? Therefore, if the cows are happy, they give milk. Krishna likes a cow, so when the cows are happy, Krishna's happy. Are we taking it from that? Or are we taking it from the you know, the modern kind of social platform? That's my point. It's not that the thing of caring for cows has a problem. It has a problem when it's only approached from pranamoy. That's my point. Because who's talking about it that it's our duty? Westerners don't talk about duty. Unless it comes to the army, right? You know, yeah, that duty to your man and country, like that. But outside of that, they don't talk about duty. It just doesn't cross their mind. If there's some kind of, you know, very traditional old world or orthodox background, then there might be that sense, you know. So people have it here and there, you know. Okay, the man takes out the garbage. Okay, the wife washes the dishes. Okay, maybe they have some sense like this. But other than that, then it's not coming up. So it doesn't even come up to Dharma. So it's sub-religion. So that's what I'm talking about. The modern culture is all based on sub-religion. That's on a good day. Its basis is actually sense gratification. So therefore, we can't take that as a basis for our own social development. Minimum we have to take is Dharma. What is the nature? So therefore, how does each nature get what they require? And how do they add what they add to the whole equation? That's the minimum you start. That's the minimum Krishna extends down into when he expands into things into the world. Then you have to connect artha and kama to that. We have to make that endeavor. Krishna comes down, he is the religious principles. He doesn't say, I'm economic development. He doesn't say, I'm sense gratification. He says, I'm the engagement of the senses in sacrifice or giving in charity. You understand? When artha and kama come up to the platform of Dharma, then it connects to the Lord. So that's indirect devotion. So it's connecting these lower two up. Starting from there, then you get into things that are more... Does that make sense? It's a science. Is that okay? Does that work? Okay. You want sense. You had something? No? Okay. Then, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the beautiful class. Here in the verse, it's showing that the materialistic way of life is very inconsistent. Sometimes the person is crying, is fearful, is looking for shelter. So my question would be, for a practicing devotee who is in a grihastha ashram, would the consistency come from his duties in to please Krishna?
Yes. Means one's going to be stable in Krishna consciousness when one sees what one's doing in the grihastha ashram in connection with Krishna, right? We're talking in that area. Because you see, as devotees cultivate very nicely sadhana, so they may be very steady in their sadhana, and in that way they're advancing nicely, but there may or may not be a strength in their family life and being able to see that and connect that to the Lord, right? But because it's secondary, it won't necessarily have as much influence, right? In other words, if you identify with it more, it'll have more influence. If you identify it with less, he'll have less influence. So the sadhana will go nicely, but the social element will be weak, right? The family element may be weak. But as long as one is able to maintain within that, it still works, because the idea is to go back to Godhead. We only bring out the social elements, the importance of that, because we see that it's an important aspect. People want that in their life. They want the social interaction. They want to get together and, you know, be able to dress up and talk and do all the different things that goes on socially. So the idea is how to do that so it connects also to Krishna, how it's based on something sattvic, right? In other words, have a program, have a party, because it's either directly spiritual, right? You just have some kirtan and like that, or it's based on a samskar, right? You have a marriage, you have some samskar for the children, you have something like that. Does that make sense? So in this way, you have reasons to express the social aspect. And then you can make it nice. The house can be nice, it can be clean, it can be made orderly because the Vaishnavas are coming over, so you want to make a nice situation for them, right? Or it can be just that you're engaging your social thing, you have to show off your nice house, you got all the, you spent so much money, you know, somebody should appreciate it, you know? And so you can do that as long as at the program there'll be some prasad or something spiritual, then still there's a benefit, you understand? It's just the connection is weaker. And so there'll be, then like the verse hill, there'll be more dissatisfaction. So even though it's a perfect party, you still won't be satisfied. Right? But if one is Krishna conscious, then even if it's simple, one will be satisfied. Or if it's very elaborate, like Yudhishthira Maharaj had elaborate arrangements, but he's satisfied because he's connecting it. So the point is that's why we're saying, the original thing of Prabhu's question there was that We can't neglect these other aspects, the social aspects, the family aspects. We can't neglect, but we have to know their place, their proportion. They're not more important than Krishna consciousness, right? So that's why we have to be able to see what is the thing. So direct is always more important than indirect. If there's an opportunity for direct, why not take it? And then whatever's left, that's indirect, then you connect that to the Lord. So that way one can connect anything connected with your conditioning. So the point is it's a comprehensive, but why we're strong on these points is that we make a distinction between its primary and secondary. Otherwise the tendency is we don't see the difference, we don't discriminate. And so something that's secondary rises up and becomes more prominent than it should. It may be important, but it's important in a particular context. You know, just like washing the dishes is very important. But, you know, if you're going to change the baby's diapers, you can't say, well, until the dishes are washed, you know, nobody's, you know, getting any clothes change around here. You know, dishes are unclean, then everybody's staying unclean. You know what I'm saying? You have to know what the purport, what the balance is. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that how to generate this balance, and that comes by association, because we're going to see it in one way, because we always, you know, how you say, the closest person we associate with is ourself, right? You know, we always, anything that we think, we hear, right? So it's not that there's nothing that we can keep from ourselves, really, right? We hear it. So that's there, so we'll contemplate, and which is good, because if it's based on authority, that contemplation is great. But hearing from others, then you start to hear other perspectives and it starts to broaden, because Krishna's all these unlimited qualities. So why a different perspective? Because you're taking the same item, but one item has many qualities to it. So one person takes one quality, another one takes another quality. So then you start to broaden your understanding. Therefore, the association is important. Is that okay? Yes. Yes. Behind you.
As you get older in life, I don't know if this has happening to everybody, but there's a certain weariness. You get tired of human society. Not that you hate anybody in general, but you just hate, not hate, but not that you just get really tired of seeing the same things over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
And this tiredness with human society, you know what I'm saying? So the question I want to ask is if you have those feelings and emotions, you know, you're talking about society of devotees, society of devotees, society of devotees, and sometimes I'm thinking, you know, near John Bhajan, somewhere up in the Himalayas might sound like a good idea. So I'm just wondering, what do you do when you get tired of the society of devotees? I mean, not just tired of the whole show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes a tired man to sing a tired song. I'm tired now, but I won't be tired long.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Maharaj.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking on that last point, I won't be tired for long, because if we go back to Godhead, then we won't be tired. And if we don't, then we'll be born again, and then we'll be youthful and not tired again, right? You know, so. I would say I will approach this from two aspects. One is the, I think it's 13th chapter, first verse, where Krishna gives the 20 qualities of knowledge, right? And the other is that what Prabhu asked before about like-minded. So the element of knowledge, one of the qualities is preferring to be in an environment that's not so much involved in the social game. Yeah. So that comes with time. So it's knowledge. It's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, if you're going up in your, you know, Himalayan retreat and your, posting little parcels that make some destructive element to society, then we're, you know, there's a problem here. But if it's, so now if we look at it, what are we tired of? It's not actually human beings. It's not about interacting with human beings. It's about the social games that human beings play based on, benefits.
I just want to also add, I'm equally tired of myself. It's not like, you know, just everybody else is.
Yeah, okay. So it's just a matter of the mundane concepts are what's there. So that's why that's a fine. But therefore one finds like-minded individuals who are therefore serious about Krishna consciousness, because just getting away, it won't be enough like that. You have to get away by becoming Krishna conscious. So in other words, you find those who you're inspired in Krishna consciousness because of the lack of all the social, you know, stuff. Does that make sense? So it comes back to his position. You just find, that's why Prabhupada had mentioned, some point where he mentions that as the men get older, then they should have a situation where they can associate with other such older devotees who have, you know, been in family life, they want to now focus more on the direct activities and not so much on all the social this and that. So he's already recommending that's one of the concepts that should be there, right? So it's a perfectly bona fide position, right? But it should be because one actually is tired. Manu mentions that when one's tired of all the rituals, all the different things, then that's one of the symptoms of vanaprast, is that one moves into that and doesn't get involved in all the social. That's why it's said that the vanaprasthi, he lives on the edge of the village or on the edge of the forest. So he's out of the way of the main social thing, but available so he can associate with others on a spiritual platform. So it's a standard tradition. So don't worry. Okay. Yes.
This question is similar to what Gita Nagari asked, but we do find some people are kind of antisocial by nature, or they're introverted, they're reclusive, or they just, for whatever reason, don't get along well with other people. They don't like organizations. They don't like communities. So how would you,
still, they don't like that they're here.
Exactly. So how would you, what would you advise such people? How would you advise them? How would you counsel them?
Okay, if you're, one has a reclusive nature, then that's fine. But the point is that should be engaged in Christian service. What do you do when you're reclusive? Not that you're, you're the world, leader in, Dungeons and Dragons or something, it should be that it's, you have some, you're using that time. If you're not involved in the social, then you should be involved in the spiritual. So then you should be hearing, chanting more, doing some kind of service, some kind of preaching that you can do in that environment. Then it's useful. It's not a problem. The natures, that's why all these positions are given in human society, is that you don't have to be too involved. Like the Brahminical, you don't have to be that involved as on the social platform, even if one's a Grihastha. One just has to be involved only because there's some spiritual activities. But otherwise, socially, there's not a lot going on that you have to be involved in. Kshatriya has to be involved. You can't manage people unless you're around the people. I know, of course, it's popular to sit in a room and make decisions, but it doesn't work, right? So the point is that you have to interact with people. Business, you have to be out. You sell something to a person. You have to be somehow or another able to contact. Of course, if you can work on eBay, then great. But the point is still you have to be available. You have to figure out how they think, right? If you're an artist, you have to work for somebody. So that means you have to go out. So unless you have a job you can work at home, great. But the Brahminical means that your interaction is based on spiritual. Your duties are based on devotional activities. So it's not a problem if one is more reclusive. It's not a difficulty, as long as one is involved in spiritual activities, not that one is just doing nothing. Then that's basically not so valuable. Right? Like that. Yes.
Why do we have so many reclusive managers in our society? We have people who are GBCs for areas that they hardly ever visit, that they, come 3 days a week, or 3 days a month, or 3 days every 3 months, like that. How is that bona fide in the Vanashram system?
There's a concept that everything happens in the board meeting is what makes everything happen. So if you use a corporate model, it looks like the meeting is where it goes on. But the difficulty is they have people that have to work for them, and they have the influence because they have the money to make them work. Right? They don't do what they're supposed to do, they don't pay them. So it works if you're working in an economic environment. The corporate model does not work if you're working on a social system, because the corporation doesn't deal with people's lives. I mean, of course, it deals with breaking them down or destroying them, but there is no element in the corporate environment that's about developing the individual. Right? Other than, okay, if they have a little place where you can go and sit and rest and let off some steam, then they'll go back to work and do better work. But it's not about them developing as a person. It's only their efficiency in the machine, which is fine as long as you have the money to power it. Otherwise, administration means you have to be able to influence people. And it's not because you said you have the ability, you've said it, but the reason that they follow is because they know if you don't do it, they have the influence to make you do it. So you have the political clout to make it happen. So if you don't have the economic clout, you have to have the political clout. It's not just because I'm in charge, you have to follow. No king works like that. He's only in power as long as he can get it done. So I've seen managers who can go out and make it happen. With time, people get to know that, what they're saying works, and they can make it happen. So therefore, just by them saying it, it starts to happen. But if there's ever a moment where people don't do it, they'll come out personally and make it work. Or you have to work on the intellectual level, that you're dealing with something based on the scriptures. This is what it is. This is the standard. This is what's supposed to be done. And so that power, then you're able to get them to do it. But then you don't have you're not one who's managing. You're simply seeing that the manager is following the standards that Prabhupada set. So you have to use one of these three. You can't use just as you like and not. You know, in other words, I don't have the money and I expect you to just do it because I said. That's not going to work. And I don't have the political clout to do it, because as soon as I start to make a stink, others make a bigger stink, and hey, I have to kowtow to that. And then at the end, therefore, because you're still not doing it, I bring out some quote from Prabhupada that I'm misapplying and trying to get you to follow it. That's not going to work. You have to use one of these three directly. It has to have the potency. So whatever system, like Prabhupada mentions, whatever administrative system one uses, technically it doesn't matter as long as it works. But you can't have a system that doesn't work and claim that it's a system. So
what do we do about that?
It always starts from knowledge. It always starts from training. Everything starts from there. From there you expand. Because if you know and you understand, then you can apply according to your ability. So you either know and then you apply in the field of knowledge, or you know you apply it in the field of administration, or you know and you apply it in the field of economics. But unless you know what it is and what's the position and how things work, then it won't actually be efficient. You know, but of course, ultimately there's the point that it's Krishna's movement, Krishna's in control, so somehow or another it goes on.
I think I did this before, I put you on the spot. You've been training people for 20 years, almost 30 years. Why aren't they in top management positions now?
People are afraid of them.
What can we do about that?
C'est la vie.
We're supposed to just wait? Is that the idea? Wait for those old people to die? Or
you can wait. Yeah, it works. Don't worry, it works. Time heals all.
In the meantime, you'll have more people trained up.
Right? Yeah. Okay. See, the point is training, it's also who you're working with. You're working with a quality, just like once Prabhupada, some devotees were, not behaving so well. I'm not sure where it was, but it may get the idea it would have to have been in a context where people knew what was proper behavior. So it may have been Vrindavan, because there was a time when the devotees first went there, they were pretty wild. I mean, some of the stories are quite amusing. They were so crazy. So somebody asked Prabhupada, why are they behaving like this? They're sadhus, and on one side, they're chanting, they're this, their philosophy, they're so good, but on this other side, it's so crazy. Prabhupada looked at it and says, look at what I have to work with. So there's also that element. It means it's, we're as good as who we are. And with time, then, because the movement is powerful, people will be purified, and then the quality will naturally go up. So it's just like you said, it's just time.
Like waiting in the airport or something. For one of those long, I spent one time almost 20 hours in Singapore just waiting in the airport.
Okay. Well, Singapore is better than Moscow, but like that. But yes, so the point is this all will happen in due time. That's what I'm saying, is that the process is so perfect that if you focus on hearing and chanting, even if one's not so good at the others and one's totally materially frustrated, but as long as the prominence is on the spiritual, one can still go back to Godhead. It may not have been a nice ride, but it'll still work. But as time goes in the future, as the general, as the group is more purified, then these aspects of culture that Prabhupada's talking about will be more prominent, and then it will be a more pleasant program. But still, we have the histories, of like Ramachandra and Yudhishthir Mar. So even though everything is perfect and perfectly religious, still the material energy is what it is. and there will be times when it's not ideal. Right? So that's still to be learned. It's just a matter of whether it's 50-50 or it's, you know, you're working in 1 or 2%. You know? You know, so like that. So what we're talking about is socially we can get a better structure with time, as because it requires a mode of goodness. The weakness is coming from a background of passionate ignorance, then the techniques of goodness we can't relate to. So how dynamic, how technically perfect is the Varnashram system, we can't appreciate. We say it's old, archaic, but it's actually so perfect that it's above our head. You know, it's like a maybe example, third graders talking about how, you know, calculus isn't of much importance. It's just over their heads. So the reason that we can't see the importance of Varnashram is because it's over our head. It just requires a consistent mode of goodness to be able to function. You know, or at least a strong appreciation or situation in it to amongst the leaders to make it happen. So when that comes up, then it will naturally happen. But the devotional process is so strong that devotionally it will work, even if you can say externally it's not very well organized. So that's the beauty of bhakti, is it's not dependent upon karma. It's just a matter of, since we're living a life of pure goodness, at least the external form can be goodness, rather than the devotional intent is pure goodness and our lifestyle is passion and ignorance. That's where we see the problems, because of that gap. So you give it time. So individuals are able to do, and then others aren't. So
in the meantime, I can criticize, is that right?
I would more recommend your the gentleman behind you.
I can offer solutions, is that all right?
No, that's there, but I'm saying the gentleman behind you, as he's talking about, you know, little huts in the Himalayas. And
I have a nice hut here. I don't know. You go to the Himalayas.
Well, you're out in the forest.
I'm in the spiritual capital.
It's in the forest here, like that. It's just a matter of, if you can see something to do, come up with it. If not, it's just understood. It's just, that's how material energy is functioning at this time. Because otherwise, why let it get in the way of your development and devotional service? Because you can go back to Godhead despite, you know. So that's the thing. You know, it's so perfect. The institution is designed to generate opportunities of cooperation so we can make dynamic devotional service. That's the point of it. And because to do that, you require some management. It's not that management's the prominent, it's not the primary, it's the secondary. So then, therefore, you want to have a good system management so that the cooperation of the devotees, that cooperative effort, can be very, very used very nicely. You know, and to do that requires money, so that has to be spent properly. So all the things come into play. But if we get distracted by these secondary aspects, then we miss the point. The only point of management is that it organizes sadhu sangha and preaching. Because preaching is actually sadhu sangha. When we have it with ourselves, we call it sadhu sangha. When you apply the same thing outside, that's called preaching. Is that okay? Yeah?
That's great.
Okay. Okay, so we'll end here. Saito. Grantaraj Srivad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.